commit this time to you, and we ask you, Lord God, to open our ears, to open our hearts. Lord, we want to go from this place changed with a greater knowledge of who you are. So we ask you, Lord God, to be in this time. Amen. Okay, at the end of your rows or around, there are some... This one's better. They don't work. There are some little cut-out figures. If you could take one, pass them along the row, make sure everybody has one. It's just easier to do this at this point than halfway through.
Hello, 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 hello.
That should be on. Hello.
Okay. It's going to hum. Has everybody got a little figure? If you don't have some, or you have some extra ones, has everybody got one? Not got one over there. Can somebody pass some over there from some extra ones? There's some on the floor down here. Nobody cares about you in that corner. Okay, we're going to start. Last week, if you were here, Zoe shared with us from John 2 about Jesus turning the temple, the tables over in the temple. And that will become significant. It was significant in itself, but adds to this story. This is John 3. It says, after dark one night, a Jewish religious leader named Nicodemus, a member of the sect of the Pharisees, came for an interview with Jesus. Sir, he said, we all know... I don't know where I am on there now. We all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miracles are proof enough of this. Jesus replied, with all the earnestness I possess, I tell you this. Unless you are born again, you can never get into the kingdom of God. Born again? Exclaimed Nicodemus. What do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, what I'm telling you so earnestly is this. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Man can only reproduce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives new life from heaven. So don't be surprised at my statement that you must be born again. Just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it'll go next, so it is with the Spirit. We do not know on whom he will next bestow this life from heaven. What do you mean? Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, you are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. I'm telling you what I know and have seen, and yet you won't believe me. But if you don't even believe me when I tell you about such things as these that happen here among men, how can you possibly believe me if I tell you what's going on in heaven? So let's go to the beginnings. What was a Pharisee? I always think of a Pharisee as that need to kind of do the pantomime villain. Boo, boo, Pharisee. But it comes from the Hebrew word which means pure or separated. And the pantomime villain isn't necessarily right. Because these were people who God had chosen and ordained, who were pure, who were separated, who were supposed to be leading by their spirit. But over the years, they began to think that actually they'd got all the right answers themselves. They knew God's spirit, they knew God's word, they knew the laws. They could pass them on to people, but they began to add their own little rules and regulations and interpretations on what God was saying. And there were two schools of Pharisees, the Shammai, who were the ultra-strict, law-enforcing, dogmatic, controlling. People have linked them for our aid to kind of the Taliban. It's very strict control. And there was another school, the Hillel, and they were more liberal. They were renowned for caring about people and putting justice into the heart of Judaism. And people have said that when Jesus said, love God with all your heart, love your neighbour as yourself, he was actually quoting Hillel. I don't No, that's the truth, but I'm just putting it there. You can Google that yourselves. So the Pharisees weren't necessarily bad people. They'd just become religious in their actions. They began to think that their traditions were the right way, that what they said was the right way, in fact, the only way. Made me a little bit uncomfortable reading that. So, oh, it was going so well. Nicodemus, who was he? Well, we know that Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a man who was in the controlling group of people. They heard trials, they enforced laws, they provided direction and interpretation. So from this, go, okay, here's Nicodemus. He's a man of power, he's a man of position. But he was also an extremely wealthy man. Historic writing at the Times puts him as one of the three most wealthy men in Jerusalem. And they said that the combined wealth of those three men could keep Jerusalem running for 21 years. Now, Jerusalem was one of the major cities of the known world at that time. And his wealth and two other men's wealth could keep that city running for 21 years. He was a rich man. He'd got power, he'd got position, he'd got wealth. And here we find him after dark. He went to Jesus. He said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. Your miracles are proof enough of this. Why did he go at night time? This man of position, of power, of wealth. He knew who Jesus was. We know that you are a teacher from God. He believed in Jesus. We know that your miracles are proof of who you are. And if you think back to what I was just saying about what Zoe shared with us last week, just before this, Jesus had been in the temple and upset people. He had said, "What are you doing?" Turned over the temple tables and challenged the people on the way they were living. So maybe that's a clue as to why Nicodemus chose to go at night to meet with Jesus. He was powerful and he had position, but he liked them a little bit more than he was bothered about getting to know this teacher, this man from God, this miracle worker. His power, his position, his wealth were more important. And I think we have times like that. Maybe it's just me. You can all smile sweetly at me. But times when actually life is quite comfortable as we are, who we are, how we are, with the things that we have, or even with the things that we don't have. In our sickness, in our failings, actually, I'm all right as I am like this. I don't really like it. I like to moan about it. But I just get on with life. There's something else that we can see from this. There's times that we come to Jesus as part of a crowd, part of a group. It's why we're here this morning. We're part of a group. We're part of a community. We're part of a body. And it's okay coming to church on a Sunday morning because that's what we do. And we come and we hear from God and we listen to what somebody says. Hopefully you're listening. You're listening? Good. And we go, oh yeah, that was lovely. And then we go away at the end of the day. We're part of a crowd. Nicodemus said, we know that you are a teacher from God. He was happy, although he had come on his own, he was happy to be part of a crowd. But equally, he knew he had to go to Jesus on his own. We know we have seen. There's times when we have to come to Jesus ourselves. It's not enough to be part of a crowd. It's not enough to come to church on a Sunday. It's not enough just to say, I'm a Christian, or to identify yourself however you like. It's about you and your relationship with God, who you see God as, and how he sees you. In the privacy of our heart, that is where the real change happens. It's not enough to know who Jesus is. It's not enough to believe in Jesus. It's not enough to be part of the crowd. And I know, a bit like Zoe said last week, this isn't really a very nice, comfortable word. I didn't find it so when I was writing it, because I find it a big challenge. Because I love being part of a crowd. I love it, like when we have the Touching Heaven prayer nights. I find that way easier to hear from God, to pray to God, to sense God, than when I have to come to God myself and to sit and concentrate, or to take a prayer walk and spend that time thinking and communicating and listening to God. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's my relationship with God. Jesus replied, just going back a bit, but not on this slide, you are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. Some of you know I'm a lecturer at university on a Christian course, and sometimes the students will ask me questions and will look at me waiting for me to answer them, and I kind of have this panic inside going, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know. I haven't read that bit of the handbook, or I haven't read that course descriptor. And you're going to go, well, what do you think about that? And hope that they come up with something that you can at least argue one way or the other. Or you go, not really sure that's... I know, why don't you go and talk to Jill, who's our administrator, who does know all the answers in the world, I'm sure. And just passing the book to somebody else. But there's that sense that actually, we've been in church a long time. I've been in church all my life. And I've heard a lot of sermons. And some of them I remember. I've read the Bible a lot. I've studied a lot. I've got a degree in theology. I supposedly know lots of things. But none of that matters at all. In fact, if anything, it's a hindrance. Because some of it isn't about how much we know, and we can get locked in like the Pharisees and go, oh, well, this is the answer to that. Oh, this is how we should behave. This is what we should do. That isn't necessarily what God's saying. But we can begin to rely on ourselves and our own knowledge instead of coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, what do you think in this situation? You know, that Jesus first. Let's put Jesus first. Coming to him and going, God, I think this, but maybe you have another plan. Maybe you have another idea that's better than mine. Strange as that may be. And some of you might go, well, I've not been in church all my life. I don't feel like I've got all the answers. Well, maybe you've done the Alpha course. Maybe you've looked at some TED Talks. Maybe you've read a few books or something. And you go in, oh, well, I've begun to get a handle on this. Those things are great. But first of all is coming to Jesus. Not relying on us having all the answers and all the solutions. Sometimes just going, Jesus, what does that mean? Owen's t-shirt this morning. I had no idea, no matter how much I looked at it and tried to understand it, no idea on earth what that t-shirt was on about. Normally I can work them out. No idea. So I'd go, Owen, t-shirt, what? And he explained it to me in a very simplified way for me to try and understand. At which point I went, oh, well, I disagree with that anyway. But I had to go to Owen. It was Owen's t-shirt. He was the owner of it. And I wanted him to explain to me what it meant. very simple example of sometimes we need to go to the author. We need to go to Jesus and go, Jesus, what does your t-shirt mean? Hopefully it won't have a cat in a relation to dead animals on it. It glows in the dark, everybody. If ever you see Owen in that t-shirt in the dark, it glows in the dark and changes. It's very good. Anyway, to the point. When we fall in love, I found these fascinating facts out, our heart rates synchronise with the person we're in love with. Isn't that amazing? Your heart begins to beat in time with the person you're in love with. Margaret, I don't know what you're giggling out there and going, not with Eric. I bet if we put one of those monitors on you now, beating in time. These are two of my friends in Albania. I went, oh dear. We begin to share the same interests. Lovely t-shirt if you happen to have one, but I don't think I've ever owned one like that, me and Neil. But suddenly our interests, well, that's okay, thanks, I'll pass. Or it'll be in the cupboard. We start developing the same interests. And Zoe had a clip from the quote from the Avengers or from Captain America, I've got frozen. But it's crazy what? We finish each other's sandwiches. That's what I was going to say. We begin to think like the other person to the point where we can finish off their sentences. We begin to be able to think like they're thinking and say what they're going to say. Doesn't always work. I won't go into stories like that. So, our heartbeat synchronizes. Our interests are the same. We share our words because our thoughts are going down the same pathway. No, Ronnie. It's the truth. Ronnie, love Ronnie. Even better than that, Ronnie, this is other fact I found out. When you first fall in love, 85% of your time is spent thinking about the other person. That's exhausting, isn't it? Just happening to look over in this direction and seeing some of the young love and just going, oh yeah. And some of us others, it's been a long time. 85% of your time is spent thinking about the other person. And then they become part of your life, and it's not so encompassing, hopefully, because I think life has much more in it than that. No offense, Neil, I love him and everything. But it's not so consuming. That person doesn't become our all. They become a part of our life and a part of who we are. Revelation 2 says, I know how many good things you are doing. I have watched your hard work and your patience. I know you don't tolerate sin among your members, and you have carefully examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but aren't. You have found out how they lie. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. Yet there is one thing wrong. You don't love me as at first. It says in another translation, you have forsaken your first love. When was the last time you had Jesus as your first love? When your hearts beat in time together. When your heartbeat was the same as Jesus' heartbeat. When was the last time you went, yeah, we share each other's interests? Those passions, those things like Zoe, I love listening to Zoe because she's so passionate. And she's got so much integrity with the things that she believes and the things that, the way she lives her life. And it's those things that make me go, do you know what? That's a challenge to me about how I live my life. The interests that God has, are they number one in my life? Or is Facebook actually more interesting? Or I'll just check, see if anybody's got anything new, interesting, exciting happening in their life. Sometimes I think God's not really interested in Facebook. Just got his feeling. Amen. or WhatsApp or Snapchat or anything else like that, social media. When was the last time that your love was fresh and passionate, Ronnie? You know, there's nothing wrong in growing and developing and maturing with God. Those things are very, very important. But we need to have that passion still. We need to have those moments of going, God, I want to love you with that first love again. I want that passion again for you. I want to have the knowledge I've got now, the maturity I've got now, but still have that hunger and that desire to see you at work in my lives and the lives of those around us. It's not enough to know who Jesus is. It's not enough to believe in Jesus. It's not who you are. It's not what you know. It's about a relationship. And this encounter with Nicodemus in the night, with him sneaking to Jesus and asking him, what are you talking about, being born again? Wasn't the end of our meetings with Nicodemus. In John 7, the Pharisees are together and they're saying, is there a single one of us who believes that he, Jesus, is the Messiah? Is there a single one of us? Like, what? None of us believe he's the Messiah. And Nicodemus spoke up and it says, remember him, he was the Jewish leader who came secretly to interview Jesus. The man who sneaked in the night time stood up, spoke up. Does any of us believe in Jesus? Nicodemus stood up. He was changed. He was altered. In John 19, it says that Nicodemus, this is after the death of Jesus, who's been crucified, who's died on the cross, and Joseph of Arimathea comes. And it says, Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night, came too, bringing 100 pounds of embalming ointment made with myrrh and aloes. Together they wrapped Jesus' body in a long linen cloth, saturated with the spices, as is the Jewish custom of burial. Jesus is dead, crucified like a criminal on the cross. And here comes Nicodemus, the man who'd sneaked at night with Joseph of Arimathea, and says, can we take his body? Doesn't just take his body, but he buys, or he takes with him, 100 pounds of embalming ointment made from myrrh and aloes. That's equivalent today to thousands of pounds worth of stuff. And you would never, never, ever use that kind of myrrh and aloes on a criminal. The amount, the quantity, the quality, and what was used was what you would use for a king. Nicodemus, the man who sneaked to Jesus, when Jesus has died on the cross, says, this is my king. He didn't say, I'm going to run away like some of the disciples had done in case I get caught. He didn't say, oh, he's dead, that's the end of the story. He said, you know what, even in death I want to honour this man. This is my king. And he is not going to be buried like a criminal. You may have spat at him. You may have mocked him. You may have whipped him. You may have beaten him. But this is my king. And I'm going to give him the best in death that I can give him. Because right now that's all I can do. Nothing was too much. Got a clip, some of you will have seen it anyway, the stormtroopers on Britain's Got Talent doing the whole funny dancing and stuff. Because the funny thing about those, sorry if you didn't see them, the stormtroopers from Star Wars, and they were on Britain's Got Talent, and I can't even remember what songs or dances they did, but they did a mix of music and dance in funny ways. And that was funny because these are stormtroopers. We've seen them in Star Wars battling with the forces of darkness and evil, or against good. I can never remember which is which because they all look a bit the same to me. Sorry for all you sci-fi people. But here we have these funny stormtroopers. They look the same, but their actions are totally different. And the challenge to us is, do we have the outfits on like stormtroopers? Do we look the right way in the right places? But actually, underneath it all, we're doing a different dance. Oh, don't worry. No, I don't want that. Don't want that. It wasn't that. It wasn't that important. It was just an illustration. You all understood my illustration about stormtroopers, didn't you? No. Okay. We'll go back. Stormtroopers were dressed up. It's a bit like lookalike people. Or when we have the Woody the Bear. Look around what age children are in here. She'll be okay. You know, you get the all Mickey Mouse, any of those people dressed up in a certain way to look like something. Who are you?
Are you evil?
Do you work for this Dark Lord? Good luck.
Helping the explanation. My point is, do we look on the outside like we've got it all together, like we're sold out for God, that Jesus is number one of our lives? Do we look like we're in the right place doing the right thing, but actually our dance is to a different rhythm? Our life, our hearts aren't fully what we look like on the outside. Does that help? Kyle Idleman says, he's got a book called Not a Fan, Becoming a Completely Committed Follower of Jesus. I loved this, what he says. He says, a fan is an enthusiastic admirer. A follower is a completely committed individual. Being a fan costs nothing, but being a follower will always cost something. Every person must choose between religion, which is following rules or routine, and a relationship with Jesus. There is no way to follow Jesus without him interfering with your life. A fan is an enthusiastic admirer, but a follower is a completely committed individual. Jesus said, you must be born again. You need to be born of the Spirit, of the water. You've got to have the Holy Spirit living in your life. You've got to know God in the fullness of who he is. You've got to declare with your heart that Jesus is Lord, to say with your mouth who he is and that he rose from the dead. And not just once, not just at the big events, not just going along with the crowd, but you personally, making that decision once and for all. What am I going to do with my life? Is this Jesus, is this God, a person that I want to be completely committed to? Completely committed to. Or am I an enthusiastic admirer? Teresa of Avila says, Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. God doesn't need us to do anything. He doesn't need us to. And in fact, we're not even very good at doing things for God. We're talking about the creator of the universe, Almighty God. And sometimes we think he's reliant on us. Oh, well, if I don't do something, then God won't be able to work. That's not the truth. We are Christ's body because we want to be. It's our decision. It's our choice. It's that Father waiting there. Before the Son had even finished saying what he was saying, the Father was, quick, get the party started. I don't need to listen to your excuses. I don't need to hear about what you should have done or what you've done wrong or anything else. I just love you. I'm loved by you. It's who I am. Who I am. It's not what we do. But who we are. And because of who we are, because of realizing how massive that love is, that's what makes us want to change, wants us to do things, wants to tell people, want to share our passion with other people. That's what inspires us to do stuff, not because what we're going to do. It's not going to work, people. No matter how much we try and fit into a day, no matter how great we try and prepare things, ultimately, it's about God doing what he wants to do, how he wants to do it. And us going, God, I just want to be my best because I love you. I want other people to know about you because I love you. I want the world to know because I love you and because I know this love is so amazing, so immense. It's my reason for being. It's the thing that gets me up in the morning. It's the thing that gets me through the day. That is why I want people to know about you, because God, the world right now is a horrible place. It's nasty. It's evil. It's dark. And God, I don't know how people get through it without you. I want them to have hope because it makes such a difference. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. It's not about putting on events like Heaven Sent, like the Queen's Tea Party, about doing outreach events and just events for event's sake. It's about us taking these opportunities to share God in the places that we are. About saying, God, you know what? For 15 years we've been on this park. We've seen change. We've seen things happen. We've had some great stories. But God, this year, 15 years, we want to kick it, God. We want to see you changing this community in a mighty way. And I want to be a part of it, God, because I believe in you. And I believe these people need to know you. Not because it's another thing to fill our diaries and so that we look good and so we can wear the T-shirt, literally. But because we see this is another opportunity to share God. In Reading, we've got friends in Reading, Yinka, some of you know, he's been linked to the church here. Incredible, amazing things are happening in Reading. For the last 2 weeks, there have been people going out from the church and praying for people, asking people about if they want to know God more, if they want to commit their lives to Him, if they want to recommit their lives to them, praying for healings, praying for miracles. On Friday, Yinka puts one by one the people who've given their lives to God. On my Facebook, I was like, okay, this is great, but I'm sick of seeing all these people coming to God. You know, it's like filling up my Facebook page, for heaven's sake. But just on Friday, 60 people gave their lives to God or made a recommitment. Yesterday, 120 people were prayed for, and many of those people made new commitments or recommitted their lives to God. Absolutely amazing things are happening. It's like there's an open heaven. The churches have got together and are praying and have committed to this. One of the church leaders has said to Yinka, please stop sending me referrals because I just can't cope with keeping up with the number of people who want to come to know God and want to be discipled and want to know more about God. They're kind of going, what do we do? I go, this is Reading. This is just down the road. It's 3 hours, but you know, the thing is, that's what I want to say here, because not because we can go, oh yes, it'd be lovely to have all the seats filled, they often are, and it'd be great to be able to tell the stories of what God's doing, but because these are people coming to know God, people who don't know God, people who are being prayed for and being healed because God makes a difference. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Esther and Carmela in the playground. Have you prayed that prayer? No. Well, let's pray it now. We were so privileged in Albania to be in a place and in a position where we were constantly saying to people, have you given your life to Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? And I go, do you know what? Since being back, I don't remember asking that question very often. John Eves was incredible. He came and shared with us at the youth, and we interviewed him, and then he said, can I ask a question? I was a bit worried this morning because So we said, yes, of course you can. So he said, do the people here, do you believe in Jesus? That was quite a challenging question. But then he said, why? Why do you believe in Jesus? It's about our choice. It's about a change in us. I sat with some of our students this week, and one of the girls said, oh, I feel really bad because I feel like my time with God has changed so much, my devotional time. I just want to know God more, and I feel like God's so far away. I said to her, have you ever prayed something like, God, push me a bit further. God, let me come closer to you. God, change me. Because giving God your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, and your walking around life, these aren't my words, they're from Romans, by the way, just clarify that. Might look quite nice on paper, but it's a challenge, a real living challenge. And if you want to do it, you need to think about it. Because it's not what age we are. It wasn't just John Eve's question to those teenagers in that room. It's not just Esther's question to Carmela. This is for us who've been sat in church for a very long time. This is for us who've not been going to church that long, but I'm trying to get my head around all of this stuff. Are you willing to trust God with your everything, with your all? Nicodemus changed from a man who snuck around, I don't know if that's a word, Matilda will tell me, no, that's wrong, Mummy, at night time, to a man who bought the most expensive things for his king when his king had died because that was all he could do. We don't want to wait until it's too late to say, Jesus, take my life and let it be. Here I am, wholly available. Take me, Jesus, and let my life reflect the amazing love that you have for me. Help me, Lord God, to realize the greatness of your sacrifice so that it changes who I am and how I live my life and how I treat others. You've all got a little person. We're going to have some music on. And I don't want you just to do this. And for some people, I know you're probably more reflectors and want time to think about that. You know, we don't know Nicodemus changed on that one encounter with Jesus. But I want you to think about your life, who you are. Does anything this morning mean anything? Does any of it just kind of make you go, there's something in that? Because as we listen to the music, I'd like you to think about your life, about who God is, about your passion, the way you live your life, about saying, God, I'd really like to know you more. God, I'd really like to come back to that first love of knowing you. God, I'd really like not just to be doing things for doing things' sake, but doing them because I remember, I've got it, I understand, I want to be changed. God, take my everyday, ordinary life. Take my sleeping. Take my eating. Take it when I go to work, when I stay at home, when I go shopping, when I go to school, when I go to university, when I'm driving in the car. Take my walking around life. Take it as an offering. When you're ready, if you want to, just come and lay your people, your person, at the front. Don't do it if you're not committed, because it's like that one of my students, you know, when we make these commitments to God, he holds us to it. But if that's where you feel this morning, that God, yes, I want you again in my life. God, I want to know you like these other people seem to know you. And come and place them on the floor and we'll pray. So we'll have some music. Thanks, John. Just as we are, you know our failings, you know our sin, you know our weaknesses. You know the times we rely on ourselves instead of coming first to you. And God, we put all of those things before you, and we thank you that you don't look on those things, but you love us. You welcome us. You wrap your arms around us and say to get the party started, because today there's going to be a change. A change in lives, a change in families, a change in this community, a change in the heavens. God, take our lives. Take our everyday lives. Be our Lord. Be our Saviour. Be the great I am that you are. Don't let this just be for now, Lord God, but I ask this week you will remind us morning after morning, night after night, day after day, of the call you are putting on our lives, of the love that you have for us, and what that means to us. So we commit all of this to you, Lord God. Amen. I'm really happy, and I'm sure any of the other leaders are, if you want to pray more, if you want to say, you know, I've done that, I've put my person down, but I want to pray, I want to say out loud, God be my Lord and Saviour, then come and we will pray with you. It will be my greatest delight. I know the other guys too. If you go in, do you know what? I want to do this, but there's things that I don't know how I get past. Come and let us pray with you.
And you know that it's really, we don't feel it's our job to come and bully people into anything, but we want to be very quick to create opportunities where people can respond. And I think Lucy's done a great job this morning of giving us the opportunity, because the truth is that each one of us has a personal response that we can make to Jesus. Nicodemus came and he had some questions and he had a choice to make, didn't he? And it's the same for us today, the choice that we can make. And if you want to pray with someone before you go, we'd love to be able to do that, as Lucy said. We're going to close our meeting together this morning and release one another to the rest of your day, whether you're celebrating fathers, whether you're remembering things today. I know a number of people in the room, did you know this is the day for Ashwood Church birthdays? I don't know how many there are, but there's about four or five people in the room who have a birthday today. It's a big day for birthdays too. So whatever you're up to celebrating, we pray God's blessing upon you and upon one another. Thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you to Lucy for speaking to us. And for all the other people who've helped us as part of our meeting, God, we just pray your blessing upon one another. Lord, we want to be people who are not just helping others find and follow Jesus, but we want to be people who are following you authentically every day of our lives. In Jesus' name, that's the cry of our hearts. Amen. God bless you. Have a fantastic week.